So Joe, you and I are currently, you're going tomorrow, I'm going Wednesday. We're going to a place in Mexico where there will be some drinking, but not before we take our to-go little pouches of Athletic Greens, because we actually travel with them everywhere. Actually, should you bring them or should I bring them or should we bring our own?
I've got good news for you.
You don't have it there already?
Because we have the big pouch already in Cabo San Lucas. We have the big pouch of Athletic Greens, because what goes better with sun, fun, golf, and libations?
Athletic Greens. Because we do need those 75 minerals and vitamins, especially in that hot sun, especially with libations. We need to stay healthy, baby.
It's a good way for us to start our day before we jump into this golf tournament we're about to play in during the course of this upcoming week. And like we always tell you, Oliver and I do not start our days without it. So it's lifestyle friendly. You can eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free. I don't do any of those. So I'm F, none of the above. But I still use Athletic Greens. But if you're into that lifestyle-friendly stuff of keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, God bless you. You can knock this down just like we do every morning.
Mm-hmm. No GMOs, 1 gram of sugar. There's no chemicals. There's no artificial anything. And it still tastes really, really good. You sleep better. You recover better. It gives you mental clarity. You're more alert. And it costs $3 a day. You're investing in your health, essentially, and it's cheaper than if you're drinking coffee. I mean, it's very inexpensive, and you're actually getting benefits out of this.
So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do, visit athleticgreens.com/daddyissues, athleticgreens.com/daddyissues. You win, we win, everybody wins. Who doesn't like winning? Winning.
Winning, winning.
Cavalry Audio.
I think you're wearing the same shirt you wore last episode.
I am, but I'm wearing a new tan.
Yeah, what's up? You are very brown. Is that fake?
My wife, yeah, of course. My wife and I went tanning today because we live in St. Louis where the weather is less than ideal. I was translucent. I was Casper-esque until I went in there and got sprayed by a nice young lady.
Wow.
I walk into this place.
Yeah.
I go... You know, my wife was there at the same time. We came in separate cars, and I opened the door or I walked past the door, and my wife is standing there completely naked.
Mm-hmm.
But so brown and so sprayed that it was a little bit jarring. And then it was my turn to go, and I'm like, okay, as we've said many times, or I've said many times in this podcast before, if I could shower in a shirt, I would. I don't really like the sight of me. And now I've got to strip down in front of this nice young lady and have her spray every crevice in my body.
Yeah, but you don't. I've done a spray tan before, not because for personal things. It was for a Halloween costume and then. For a movie I did, actually. So I have done them before, but I wore underwear and I sort of like wore tighty whities. I mean, did you?
Yeah,
you didn't
go naked? I'm not saying I was naked. No, of course.
Yeah,
not.
You didn't go naked. But Erin, same thing when she gets a spray tan or whatever. I mean, you know, she's just naked in there with a little G string. So she likes the outline, you know.
I'm just surprised at how, and maybe this is just the people we married and I'm definitely not in your category, but how open my wife is to be naked in front of another female, but I want to go in and put like a winter coat on and just say, hey, spray my face so I don't look awful in pictures in Cabo. And yet, head to toe, I am like, is like a box of chocolates right now.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's what I don't understand about this. Tomorrow you are getting on a plane to go to Mexico where it's mid-80s. Like, you could lay out for 10 or 15 minutes right when you get there, and boom, you're good. So why the spray tan? I would understand a base tan with actual ultraviolet rays, so you're actually absorbing some sunlight or some vitamin D or some UVs so you don't burn, but you can still burn. This is purely for aesthetic.
Correct. Oh, yeah. I mean, should I have started with that?
No, it doesn't matter. But I'm just concerned, not concerned, but if you were going to a ski party where everyone's in the snow and it's a big party, then I might get it. You don't want to look like, you know. But you're going to Mexico to where you can lie down in the sun and be tan.
I don't want to lie down in the sun. I've got pre-cancer things being taken off me left and right every time I go to see the dermatologist. I really shouldn't be in the sun. My mom had melanoma on her chest. I've had a thing taken off my chest. I've had things burned off me that are making a collection for you, and I'm going to bring it down to Cabo.
You're like pre-cancer's collage.
I'm going to make you either a collage or I'm going to just periodically throw one in your salad.
Right, or just like sprinkle one in my drink.
Yeah.
Right. I love that. It's a good a tequila melanoma is a good drink.
These are like I'm not overplaying it. These are like pre-cancer things, not a big deal. Everybody has them.
Yeah. I get it.
I'm 99% Irish. I turn red. I'm just not a good tanner guy.
Well, you are noticeably brown right now. This will wash off. No, I know. So you have the bronzer on, and then you know, and then after a certain amount of time, then you rinse, right?
And then you see all this stuff just go down the drain in your shower. Yeah.
And then you have a nice, even situation.
Theoretically, if this person did a nice job and hit all the spots.
Have you done this before?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Not often. I didn't know this
part of your routine.
It's not part of my routine. I've never done this going down to Cabo to see you.
But maybe that's it. Maybe you want to look good for me.
Maybe I don't care.
Here's what I think. Because we have been talking about sort of the new look for ESPN. Maybe Joe Buck is super tan now. You know what I mean?
I'm like, what's the guy's George?
George Hamill?
George Hamilton.
Right, Hamilton, right. Yeah.
Where I'm just known as the sports guy who is overly tan.
Yeah, this is great. And you change your suits, you change your look, you change your hair a little bit, make it a little messier, and you're just like super tan. I like it. It screams ESPN.
Okay. Good.
I like it.
All right. It's on the table.
Well, I'm tan normally. I was just in Palm Desert and I like burned my face off. It was like 9,000 degrees.
Okay, so, well, there you go. You're in Palm Desert.
I already have my base going. I know. Yeah. I know. But now I'm back and I was just, before we got on, putting together patio furniture. And the amount of furniture I have been putting together in the last 2 months because we're moving into our house. We're in our house, but we're, you know, furniture is coming and we're trying to, you know, get some really nice pieces and then, you know, some shitty stuff too, because I don't need $17 billion patio furniture, you know? So right. We got this stuff and it is fucking crazy, dude.
Now you wish you'd paid a little bit more, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, shit. Bronco! No!
Boy, yeah, that's so I'm a well-trained dog.
I'm just in there with like a tiny little Allen wrench they provide you, sweating my ass off, you know, just trying to, it's
what's crazy. The amount on the check that you would write right now to get out of that?
I'd say $300.
$300?
Yeah, because here's the thing. There's a part of me that likes it. Even though I'm not building something from my mind and from scratch, there is a sense of accomplishment when the outdoor couch with the chaises and the table and it's all done and it's out there and I'm like, yeah, I did it. You know what I mean? Like, I do like that sense of accomplishment.
So every time you walk by it, you just take a moment.
Yeah.
Gaze at it.
Yeah.
Inhale. Smile.
Mm-hmm.
Walk on.
That's right. I did this. You know, I followed the instructions perfectly.
Yeah.
That's essentially what I just did. You know?
If I ever get there, is this furniture that I need to worry about sitting on? Is it sturdy?
I think we're good. You know, so far so good. There's
anything left over?
Haven't finished it yet, but there are a few screws that didn't, you know, they came in at an angle, so I wasn't able to get them fully tight. You know, everyone's going to be fine. You know, everyone's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Good.
But you won't worry about it. You know, you're not coming here.
Well, here's the unfortunate thing, and now I'm spoiling the surprise, but when we get to Cabo this week, I had some new furniture I ordered that you and I are going to have to put together. So if you could, just pack that little Allen wrench and your passport.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll see you down there.
I did not have my passport.
No. Shocking. That's our friend Oliver.
Yeah.
He showed up and his passport was expired.
Well, you know what? This could be a good series for us, and I think it would be a good YouTube channel of you and I just putting things together with tiny little Allen wrenches.
I'm so physically beaten up just with my body. I don't really like getting into, like, you got to sit on the floor or the ground. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You get in these weird positions, and then I'm getting my left arm's going numb because I have a bulging disc in my neck, and I'm in a weird position, and I'm frustrated, and I put something in backward, and I have to undo everything, and I'm not good at that. I would write a much bigger check than $300 to get out of anything like that.
I know. Well,
Were you just being humble?
No, because if I had more money in my bank, maybe I'd write a bigger check. I'm skimming by, you know? I mean, I know it's crazy for people to maybe hear on this podcast, but it's all relative. You know what I mean? Like, it's all fucking relative. I've created a life for myself, and you're just trying to maintain this lifestyle. And to stay up on this lifestyle, you have to make a certain amount of money a year.
Right.
And so I've been in this sort of year-by-year phase where it's like, God, dude, I just made it. Just scraping by, and I don't have to, like, sell the house or anything crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And it may be, from the outside perspective, it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, you're on TV. You make money. People know who you are. But, yeah, but I've created this thing. I've created a life, and I'm trying to maintain that shit. So that's why $300 is my max.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. I did some promotion this week for us. I hosted an hour as a guest DJ on Kenny Chesney's No Shoes Radio.
My God. Before you get into this, you do so many things.
Yeah.
Like, is this an issue? Meaning, is there a psychology behind this? Like, you can't really sit still. You know what I mean? Like, do you always have to be doing something? Even though I know you like to chill, but why do you do so many things?
Because he texted me and asked me.
Okay.
I'm easy. It's not like I solicited him to go DJ his radio station for mm-hmm. an hour, but I found it fun. I really, the reason why I bring it up is I really enjoyed doing radio. Now, it was radio by myself. I sat mm-hmm. here in front of this microphone and talked about my relationship with Kenny, who I know fairly well, not mm-hmm. great. And then I led into 14 songs that I picked that all had some personal meaning to me, 4 Kenny songs and then 10 other songs that kind of took the listener through my life of being a...
Can't wait to get into this. I just can't wait to hear the songs. I know Florida Georgia Line was on there, right?
No.
What about that song? What about that song that was playing at Cava like many, many years ago that everyone was playing? That Nelly song?
No, I like
song?
My chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night.
I'm trying to fist just right.
No,
I was just singing that. No. The song that Nelly's from St. Louis, right? Remember, it was all the old like white dudes were all bumping this song. It was like a country slash hip hop song.
Yeah. I
do you remember that?
Yeah,
it
I
drove
remember
me crazy.
What was it? I can't.
Oh God,
for the life of me, I could never come up with it. Margot.
Start going. Hey, sorry, I cut you off. Keep going. I want to hear more. I like this.
No, so I did a chunk of intro about who I am and how I know Kenny and what kind of a guy I think Kenny is, and then I went in straight into Beer in Mexico, which is a song of his, and that allowed me to then bring up your name, which then allowed me to bring up Daddy Issues, which then allowed me to self-servingly promote our podcast on No Shoes Radio, which will be played multiple times. So when we see this gigantic bump from the South, different states, across that are big Kenny fans, it's going to come from this little exercise I did.
Awesome. I want to hear the country grammar.
I still can't do it. No, that's not it. Country Grammar, I think, is one of his solo songs. It's one he did with a country band,
I'm pretty sure it was Nelly, right?
Yeah.
And everyone was bumping it in their golf carts, and I was just like, oh, my God.
I don't know. I don't think that's it. I don't think it's Country Grammar.
Over and Over?
No.
No.
The Country Grammar's on the down, down, baby. Hunt the down on Range Rover. Ding, ding, baby. Let it go. Shimmy, shimmy, listen to me now. Line it up and take a puff. This is Oliver's life.
Right. Yeah. That was just a Nelly song. Lil Bit?
Lil Bit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How's that go?
I can't. That doesn't help
me. I can't pull it up. Oh, now it's driving me crazy. Hold on. It's called Lil Bit. That's the name of the song? Or Lil Butt?
I guess. Lil Bit.
No.
That's not it.
I know, but
there was another one that was a huge hit that they sang at award shows. And it's amazing that it takes us this long, and there are now listeners who are like infuriated.
Called Cruise, right?
Or yes, just, yes, yes, yes.
I think it was Cruise. Hold on, yeah.
Cruise.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the song. All right, Cruise. Come back to me.
I'm here.
We spent way too much time on that.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
Do you want to hear the songs that I did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Other than this, the Kenny songs, huh?
Wait, hold on. I think my shit's still playing. Oh, God. Now it's... Hold on. Oh, my God.
Whew. Thank God. Are you going to be okay?
Yeah, it just was kept playing in my ears. I almost threw up. Anyway, go ahead.
I played a few things. Oh, I just remembered one that I couldn't remember earlier in the day because I told my friend Ryan about this. I started out with the song Walk by Foo Fighters. Learning to walk again. Mm-hmm. You remember that song?
Love that song.
Can't believe I've waited long enough. Where do I begin?
Huh? So wait a minute, but you don't have to do country songs. It can be anything you want.
Anything you want.
Okay.
I went back, I played, I think the first album I bought as a kid on my little stereo system which sounds bigger and better than it actually was, that my parents bought me in middle school, was Ghost in the Machine.
Mm-hmm.
So I played Invisible Sun.
Mm-hmm.
You know that song? Mm-mm. Has to be an invisible sun. Gives its Mm-mm. heat to everyone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Has to
okay.
be an...
Yep,
dark all day and it glows all night.
Okay. What
that
else?
That song. I did
any
an
Phil
Army
Collins?
Ad. Huh?
Any Phil Collins?
No Phil Collins. Would have been a good call. No Peter Gabriel, which would have been something that was pretty near and dear to my heart at the time. I did I Want You to Want Me by Cheap Trick just because my son Wyatt sings it all the time and allowed me to talk about being on Masked Singer. I did Sean Colvin, who's kind of a little guilty pleasure of mine. I did the song Trouble that she did off her A Few Small Repairs album. I did Vedder singing Hard Sun from the soundtrack he did for Into the Wild, the Sean Penn directed movie.
Yeah, that was great. Great
I did
soundtrack.
R.E.M. Talk About the Passion from Murmur, that album.
Yeah.
And then the Kenny songs mixed in. I'm missing one or I'm Shaken by Jack White. I think is in there. I just kind of went all over the place and had a story.
What
with
was
each
your
one.
What was your wedding song?
You would know this had you been there.
I wasn't invited.
The Bill Withers song. When I wake up in the morning,
love that song.
And the sunlight hits my eye.
Yeah, it's such a good song.
Something in that morning.
You didn't play that. Does that mean we're going to have another issue with Michelle after she listens to this
That's
podcast?
That's a fair question. But I dedicated Hard Sun to her at the end. It was the last song I played because of the lyric, when I walk beside her, I am a better man.
Oh, good. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. Which is a nice callback now that I think about it from Eddie Vedder, who they have a song, Better Man.
Yeah.
Can't find a better man. Well, you know, when he walks beside, I assume he's talking about his wife, Jill, that he can't find a better man. She makes him a better man. Michelle makes me a better man. Not a bitter man, a better man.
A little of both.
Sometimes. and now Michelle's getting like social media comments from people that are like, tell Michelle to quit winning.
Well, I was going to ask you that because each week we've seemed to have a little kerfuffle. And are we clean this week?
We're clean.
We Michelle clean? We are.
Clean as a whistle.
Oh, good. So did she even listen?
I think she's off the whole thing.
Oh, good. Oh, okay. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. but we're good. Yeah, we're good. I didn't step into it, and I actually offered to her the fact that I talked about things. And Walk, which was the Foo Fighters song, somebody told me after divorce, like I had to learn how to walk again. So you know, starting over and coming up with you know, the better life situation for me while taking care of my girls and all that. So that was, you know, that was the gist of this thing. I mentioned our podcast twice. I mentioned you by name. And I guess this brings up, you know, a little bit of bitterness on my part that, you know, you rarely talk about this podcast. It's all sibling revelry.
I don't talk about anything. You're out in the wild doing things. I mean, I don't do anything. I don't have, you know what I mean? I'm not doing shit. And when I do go on these talk shows with Kate to promote sibling revelry, I think it would be strange if I brought up daddy issues. Don't you think?
Kelly Clarkson would have had no issue with that.
Right, exactly. I mean, imagine if I'm on Kelly Clarkson, all of a sudden I just started plugging daddy issues. Kate would be like, what the fuck are you doing right now?
Right, and you tell Kate to just stuff it. I don't care. Too bad. She's got enough. She's got enough going on. She can throw us a tangential bone by,
I know,
you know, letting you talk about it.
She came on. She came on the pod. She did our first little drop in.
Yeah, you know? No, yeah, it got me into a bunch of shit, but I'm still appreciative that she came on. That was nice of her.
I know. Well, I will do everything that I can in the future. I think you and I should try to get a talk show and go promote Daddy Issues.
Heyo!
I just don't know if anyone would have us on.
To go on know? Or to host?
Yeah. No, to actually go on a Jimmy Kimmel, you know?
Why not?
Because I don't know if we're big. We're not big enough. You know, Kate's the draw there, and you'd be the draw with like a Kimmel. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Well, how about this? I think I'm going to do an ESPN Plus like Manning cast type thing for the upcoming PGA Championship.
Oh, cool.
Where I'm going to host that for 3 hours a day. I would like you to come on with me and we can do the whole thing, you know.
Dude,
we could talk golf.
A dream. Okay. I mean, are you kidding? That would be amazing. I would love to do something like that. That would be so fun.
All right. Yeah. Consider it done. You're in.
Yeah. Well, you got to ask. You got to go to the top dogs.
No, I get to kind of fill the guest list.
Oh, fun. So it's going to be fun, meaning like you're going to be talking golf, watching golf, bringing people on.
You can talk about the golf, you cannot. It's wallpaper while I'm interviewing you or I'm talking to you about why golf's important to you or talking to you about your daddy issues and then sliding in a little promo for daddy issues, the podcast and the lunchbox and the everything else we'd have.
Yeah, we should get a lunchbox.
Lunchboxes are underrated.
They are. Yeah, those are gone. I mean, what kid brings like a tin lunchbox to school anymore?
They're a health hazard. Mine, I'm so old. Mine were painted with lead paint.
Oh yeah.
Woody Woodpecker lunchbox that I showed here years ago. Whenever we started this,
godforsaken podcast.
It's rusted out. It's got nails in it. It's painted with lead paint.
Our podcast is too.
Our podcast is rusted out. It's painted with lead paint. That'd be a good name for our new podcast, Lead Paint.
I love that. Let's do it.
But
let's
we spell it LED, it. Lead paint.
Yeah. 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 I know. Well, look, we're still cruising along. Still enjoy talking to you, John.
Can't say cruise. Now and cruise the little Nelly song you just pulled up on your fancy iPhone.
I know. When is the PGA, by the way?
The weekend of August, like 19th, somewhere in there. 19th
okay.
through the 22nd.
So the U.S. Open is next in June, right? Did they switch the PGA?
No, they did. I don't know why I said August. It's
PGA's the next major.
PGA is the next major. It's in May.
Yeah,
I completely screwed that up. So it's coming up in like 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, PGA's next major, then the U.S. Open, and then the Open. Got it.
Yes. Yeah. They wanted to make the PGA Championship more relevant instead of it coming in at the end.
I know. I guess that's smart.
Yeah. So, you know, I said yes to this literally 40 minutes ago, and I don't even know where the PGA Championship is this year.
Jesus, neither do I.
It's the one in Tulsa, right?
U.S. Open is Brookline, right?
Yes.
I think.
Southern Hills. Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yep. Southern Hills. Yep.
There's my buddy Adam Scott.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hey, man.
Oh, my God. I you know, there are only a certain number of friends that you can send a text to at, I don't know what time you received that text. I don't know where you are. I'm assuming it's Los Angeles.
Joe. Let me check here. It was inappropriately late. Let me check.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have one comment while you're looking that up. That is the longest bill on a hat I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is a one of those real fishing hats. And
wow.
It's ridiculous looking, but I'll tell you when you're outside, it's kind of incredible the amount of shade it provides. It's ridiculous.
Have you ever caught anything in that? Do you fish in it, Adam?
I have never once held a fishing rod while wearing this hat.
It's allowed. You can do what you want.
But I did go fly fishing last summer. I didn't have this hat yet. Why does it say you've texted me at 6 a.m. with, that was, you yeah, first texted I'm in me St. at Louis. 8:30 p.m. about this, which is really, really
yeah.
late.
Yeah.
Like I said, no, I'm so sorry. I know you turn in early.
Yeah. I have dinner at 4 p.m.
Fly fishing real quick, because I've been fly fishing since I was 6 years old.
Really?
Did you like it? I mean, isn't it, or was it too insane for
no,
you? It's a beautiful sport, really.
It's great. I grew up all around fishing, too. My dad's a fisherman, and I grew up in Santa Cruz in Northern California, and he has a boat. So go out fishing every weekend, to the point where I had my fill on fishing by the time I was like a teenager, but have kind of rediscovered it. And this fly fishing trip last summer, I went with like Kimmel's really into fly fishing, and
his brother too is big into it.
Yeah. It was so fun. It was in Idaho. It's really a lovely, and I remembered a lot of the kind of basics from, you know, when I was a little kid fly fishing. It's really,
yeah. Kimmel's a huge fly fisherman. Yeah. He's obsessed. I actually got him a reel.
Okay.
Our podcast. I got him a reel, and him and his brother both this reel, and it's just a cathartic sport.
It,
I mean,
really,
once you
is.
Learn how to do it, it's beautiful. And you
where
know,
do you like to
thoughtful.
Go?
Colorado, you know, we've had a ranch up there for 30 plus years. Grew up there half my life, basically. And so that's where I learned to fly fish.
But
I also ocean fish, too. It's just outside of Aspen, like basically Aspen. It's basalt, you know.
My
stepdad moved there in 1977. He quit the business and was writing because he had done a billion pilots. He was a Disney kid.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know what? Fuck this. I don't understand this business. I don't know why shows don't go. He quit, moved to Colorado in 1977, was guiding hunting and teaching skiing and ski patrol and the whole deal. And then he got an audition for Elvis that John Carpenter was directing for a TV movie of the week. And he went and did it and got it and, you know, got nominated for Golden Globe. And then that was the rest of it. That was the history.
Wait, so sorry about my dogs. All this means is that there's someone walking somewhere in the vicinity of the house. Sorry. If you want to talk for a minute till this ends.
Well, I just want to know what podcast Kimmel came on.
Sibling Revelry.
Oh, okay. The one you do with your sister, one.
No. He didn't want to come on this one.
I have to reach out to my friends at 10:30 at night to get them to come on our podcast. Meanwhile, you're stacking the deck for Sibling Revelry.
I've got Kate Hudson, all right? I'm riding the coattails. Just let me have my thing.
If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, don't keep it to yourself. Please share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We beg you.
Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up right after the break.
I have a question about about Kurt. I didn't know that he had quit the business, and then it was the Elvis TV movie that like kickstarted everything. I always thought of him as a big star. So by the time like Silkwood comes around in like 82, 83, he's like full-fledged movie star, but only like 5-6 years into like being a grown-up movie star.
Yeah, he was Silkwood. He was becoming the big movie star. He wasn't quite there yet, but he quit. He was a Disney actor, and then he went to Colorado and was writing, and he was going to be a writer and make money as a writer and teach skiing and do all that. And then Elvis came along, and he went and did that. And
That's
then
amazing.
From there, it was Escape from New York. And then that became the cult.
Of course.
That became the cult classic. And then he did The Thing with John Carpenter. And,
Big
you know,
Trouble
and then from
Little
there,
China, yeah.
Big Trouble in Little China. From there, it sort of just, it just sort of took off.
I remember going to see Big Trouble in Little China like four times in the theater.
Yeah.
Silkwood, by the way, is a movie that is not available streaming. The only copy I could find was a bootleg on eBay. It's not available.
Really?
Yeah. How crazy is that?
It's a great movie, dude. Meryl and Cher and Kurt.
Mike Nichols directed it.
Mike Nichols. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's surprising.
Isn't that weird?
Actually, you can't find it anywhere.
I have the copy here, and the Blu-ray didn't even work, the one I got on.
I have it on LaserDisc, if anybody is interested.
Do you seriously? No, you don't.
No, I don't. No. I used to have a LaserDisc thing.
I did too.
I bought about 10 of them, and then they got thrown out during some move. Huge. And really, the quality wasn't that much better. I didn't really notice anything. The colors weren't more vivid.
Right, because the TVs weren't HD yet, so there was no real...
Right, so it was all crap. It was a scam. We all got scammed by LaserDisc.
Well, LaserDisc was pretty much a failure, I think. I mean, for the most part.
You had to turn them over. Halfway through the movie. Yeah,
forgot about that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, Adam, where I know you through Rudd. I know you through Preston. I know you through Ham. How did we initially meet?
I think initially through Rudd, like 20 some odd years ago. Right?
Oh yeah. In was it LA or New York?
Man, I don't remember.
Talk about that night that you came down and met us all at a bar, and you had that gigantic weird bug in a mason jar. That was in LA.
That's right. That was at St. Nick's bar in LA where St. Nick's. We used to go there.
Yeah, sure.
Like every night. We would go to St. Nick's and just drink until they closed every night. Remember when you did, like, can you imagine doing it? Like, I don't know.
No.
In your 20s, though, it's just like, let's do this.
And then I would see you in New York. We'd go to the radio bar.
Yeah.
I first met your wife, Naomi, one time across in that white, whatever it's called, the white something, white.
White Horse Tavern. Yeah.
White Horse.
Yeah.
And I met her, and I was like, Adam's got to keep her here. You've been married a long time.
We just had our 17-year anniversary on Saturday.
Oh, good. Man. Cool. Yeah.
And two beautiful kids. And I knew you. I don't know you as well as I know the rest of the group, and we haven't spent a lot of time together, but I've always known you as kind of the gentle soul of the group.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like you don't have that side to you other than like the dick you play in Step Brothers or the kind of that character that comes out. But in real life, you are like just a gentle guy.
That's kind of you to say.
It's true.
Yeah, maybe. I think, part of that is probably a result of some sort of social awkwardness and a little bit of like shine. I don't know, like in a big group, maybe. But yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I guess so. That's very kind of you to say. I mean, I guess we've kind of ended up spending it. I feel like most of the time we've spent together is in bars or. Yes. We also had a couple weddings, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Preston's wedding.
Preston's wedding in Carolina.
That's right.
We spent time there. And then.
Were you at Bert's wedding? No.
I was not at Bert's wedding.
Yeah.
No, I didn't make that list.
I was there.
Oliver was there. It was really cool. Really fun.
I was there. How old are your kids?
15 and 13.
Yeah, I got 14, 12, and 8.
And I have 25, 22, 4, and 4.
But we're in a precarious, do you have boys or girls?
One of each.
Okay, so where are you at with what's happening today with kids? Because my 14-year-old, we caught him vaping. He's got his friends now where they're doing like, stupid shit, but he kind of is not. They all kind of want to be older and he still wants to be a kid, but there's experimenting going. Where are you at with this? And do you, have you dealt with any of this stuff yet?
You know,
because you're right in that spot.
Yeah, right in that spot. I feel like both of our kids being 15 and 15-year-old boy, 13-year-old girl, like the pandemic hit 2 years ago, right when our 15-year-old and 13-year-old to a certain degree, she was 11, he was 13. That's right when you start kind of venturing out and hanging out with your friends outside of the kind of being pinned down by your parents and like, mm-hmm. you know, socializing shifts a bit. And they were all locked down for that period of time. And so I think there's been a certain amount of catch up and a certain amount of kind of rebooting. And so I feel like that you're right. Like that stuff is now starting. It's just been delayed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I feel like our son and his friends are, they're really like cool together kids. There hasn't been any like big, you know,
crazy stuff going on.
None of that yet, but I certainly went through that phase and did that. So I would fully expect that to come at some point.
Well, you know, it's so funny is like, I have to always rethink that I was 14 and 15 years old
yeah.
and what I was doing when I was 14 and 15 and then parent accordingly, because I hate hypocrisy. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I don't even understand it. You know, it's my brain is not wired that way. So when this happens, how am I supposed to get angry when I fully understand what's going on, you know, but at the same time having to be a parent and say, hey dude, like, look, shit is weird out there right now. You could go try to smoke a joint, which is so innocent for us back in the day, and it can be laced with some shit because we have people who we know who their kids have smoked a joint and it's been laced with fentanyl and bad things have happened.
Oh, fuck.
So this is what we're dealing with now. Yeah. It's so crazy. Just an innocent thing. What's it like to get high? And then boom, you smoke the wrong joint now you're dead. So I have to have these talks with my kids that feel premature.
Yeah.
Meaning like, I'm like, dude, we don't need to talk about weed right now, but if you are interested, don't go buy it from some fucking crazy person out there because this is not what it was like when I was a kid, you know?
That's right. And it's a different conversation now because it's legal. It's like beer.
Right.
Rather than... Because when we were that age, it was, you know, put on a list with cocaine and crack. You know, it's so nuts to think that, but that's what it was. And so it's just a whole different kind. Yeah, I find that a lot of conversations I have, I try to take that into consideration too, just like you said. And a lot of it's just sort of like, listen, and kind of making them aware of the guardrails, like, just don't take it to this point because that's where it can turn into this or this. Just use your head because of course you're going to, you know, end up doing this or that, but just don't be an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Well, we're winding down with you and there's two things that I wanted to ask you. One, how proud are you of Severance? I'm two episodes in.
Oh God, I can't fucking
fully
wait to watch it.
Fucking hooked. The hard thing with watching a show like this, and I'm so proud of you, and you carry it, and I just, you know, as a tangential friend or whatever we are, I'm just like, my God, this guy's really fucking good. And the problem with watching it is you're trying to understand this crazy world that you're dropped into. And so you feel like everything is some massive clue and you almost have to Zapruder film the fucking thing because you're freeze. I'm like, okay, what's that? Why is the watch always at this time? Why does he switch his watches? Why does he, you know, all these little things, it becomes almost halting watching this thing because I want to understand it. I want to understand it quick.
Yeah.
Like when you read this thing, first of all, you got great people attached to it and Ben Stiller and all that, but you're like, what the hell am I reading and how are we going to make this work?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, thanks for saying all that. It's really nice.
It's so great. I mean, my
thanks.
God.
Yeah, I mean, that was, it's a really big swing, and it's part of why I was so, you know, 3 months ago, because it came out February 18th. So 3 months ago, I was scared shitless. Once all the billboards went up, I had never been in something where I was like the face up around town. And once that happened, it was real. And February 18th was like a locomotive heading straight towards me. And there was nothing that I could do to stop it. And I was just fucking petrified. Right. Because it's a big swing, and I was really proud of it. I loved it all and loved making it and loved the episodes, but you never know how something's going to be received. I mean, Jesus Christ, how many times have we seen something awesome get destroyed critically, or no one cares about it and it just floats away, or people care about it and just start fucking piling on and making fun. You never know how something is. So we were all scared. I had, just having never been in that position before, was particularly freaked out. And Ben, who has, was really cool to kind of like offer some perspective. So the fact that it's been received well and people like it, and fans have, the community of people who have gotten really into it are just incredible. And we just couldn't ask for a better landing for it. So I'm just still in relief mode and just so happy that people watching it. You know, yeah.
Right. Did Stiller call you? Did he tap you? Was he like, Adam, I want you. We're gonna go do this thing.
He did, like 5 years ago. He called me just to kind of tell me the elevator pitch, just the quick, like the big idea of the show. And it sounded really cool. But it wasn't until like a couple of years later that it all started coming together. And yeah, he was, you know, generous enough to think of me. I'm so, so glad he did. Because when I first read it that first time, like you said, Joe, I was like, holy shit, this is exactly what the kind of thing I've always wanted to do. You know, this is the kind of stuff I like watching. And I've never gotten, you know, I've never been able to do something like this before. So if I'm able to actually land this job, it's almost like I've been earning this whole time, just trying to get to this point to be able to do this.
So, and that was my second question. You were a grinder. I mean, if you forget the app, you were a guy that you have done so much stuff to lead to this. And that's what makes me so happy, because when you go through your IMDb, which I got on today just to, you know, look at the volume, you know, as a guy who was a young married dude with kids and whatever, you made a lot of decisions that I'm sure that Oliver talks about it all the time, taking jobs to take you out of the house and whatever. And man, you've earned this through a lot of hard work and a lot of different, sometimes crazy, wacky roles that I feel like only you could pull off. But that, do you look back and go, my God, I can't believe the body of work.
It's, you know, I mean, I started auditioning went in the fall of 93. So it's been a while. And just like, I've always been someone, I just want to keep working. And when I was starting out, or for the first 15 years I was working, I was not in a position to be picky about anything, and never had any, like when people would talk about like not wanting to do this, because I always thought they were crazy. Like, who are you to be picky about it? Like, I did extra work. I did everything I could along the way, and guest spots on anything. I just wanted to work. And it just took me a kind of unusually long time to really get a career together. But you look at the IMDb page and it's really long, because it's been such a long time, 20,
One more and then you're out of here. But like, you know, because, you know, I've been doing this 20 years now. I was 21 when I started, you know, and I've always been this, it's weird because my parents movie stars and my sister movie star, and I've always felt like sort of the black sheep. My career to most people, they would kill for. At the same time, I have yet to really do anything that fucking matters or that means something to me. I'm an actor for hire, and I love what I do, and I'm supporting my family. Uh-huh. You know,
You're great, though. You shouldn't feel that way. You're excellent.
I know, and his whole family tells him that, and I tell him that.
I know it's my own shit. But I have done comedy, and I have done drama, and I guess my question is: you do both. Do you find one harder to do than another? If you were to say which one is more difficult, would you say it would be a comedy or drama?
I feel like, and you may know what I'm talking about when I say it's like whatever you haven't done in a while is sort of the one that takes adjustment. I mean, I feel like sort of I would hope to think I approach both the same way. It's just about the material and how you attack it, but it is a different muscle depending on what you're doing. And so like, you know, jumping into Severance, I hadn't done or, you know, maybe it was more Big Little Lies when I had been doing Parks and Rec and like comedies for 7 years or whatever. And then, I started doing this like heavy drama. It was sort of an adjustment. It was like, oh yeah. Cause before Step Brothers, I hadn't done really comedy cause it was just a fluke. I got cast in that. And then that sort of set me in that direction. And then I went to do Big Little Lies and it was like, oh, right. Yeah. It's all about this, and it does take some adjustment. And then, you know, going from Severance to, I did this other show for my friend Alan Yang, that's more of a comedy, and it was another adjustment there. And it's really fun to toggle between the two and to bring elements of each to the other. So nothing's all one thing. I think comedies, they say comedy's always the hardest thing. I think someone said recently, maybe it was Amy Schumer was on Stern. I forget who it was that said it, but that making someone laughter is an involuntary thing. I mean, you can always fake laugh or whatever, but really to make someone laugh, it's an involuntary physical reaction to something, and to actually light the spark that makes that happen that's really hard. Like to really make a person laugh, that's kind of a hard thing to do. Mm-hmm.
Do you still know all the lyrics to Sweet Child of Mine? do people make you do that in public?
You know, I was the only one not singing in that car. Everyone else was singing live and I was lip syncing because I can't sing.
We won't tell Preston or any of our other friends that
who can sing.
Yeah. 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 That was so great. I just love you. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks
for coming on.
And thanks for the drop in, buddy.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Oliver.
Keep it up. And wait, party,
you,
party down. The reboot is coming out at some point.
Yeah. We, I'm not sure when it's coming out, but we finished shooting in March and, it's great. Can't wait for everyone to see it.
Good. Well,
sweet.
You're terrific.
Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Crushing.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Adam.
All right.
Take care,
buddy. Adam.
Bye.
Later, bud. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
All right. Well, Oliver Hudson, who the fuck are you bringing to this podcast? I mean, you went to your sister. Who's next? Who do we got? Goldie Hawn? Kurt Russell.
Hey, just name the person and whoever you want. I don't care. Jenna Jameson, whatever you want.
Will Smith.
All right, I'm going to call him. Oh, you know what? I was in the desert and I actually went and saw Chris Rock in the desert. And I was backstage with him in the dressing room and the whole deal. I mean, obviously, I'm talking about that, but it was amazing. He was amazing. That dude is so fucking funny. I mean, I'm not saying anything anyone doesn't know, but like, holy shit, is he funny. This stuff, this new material that he's working on, which I'm sure will turn into a special at some point. Yeah. It's so good.
But I have to say, and I was thinking about this, I know Stern, you still listen to Stern, I do.
Yep.
He's talked about it a lot, and Amy Schumer talked about it. I did listen to that episode.
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear Schumer
It's
on
really
there.
Great. And yeah. You're friends with her, aren't you? Don't you know her through Kate?
Yeah, I do. I wouldn't say friends, but yes, I do know her. Yeah.
Well, she's great on the show and very open and honest. And then... You know, they brought up the fact that Jim Carrey said I'd sue him for $200 million because that's going to live on. And Amy talked about how genuinely sweet Chris Rock is.
Mm-hmm.
And how that and then it hit me that is going to be, for right or wrong, even though it seems ridiculous to everybody else, that is going to be in top of mind for him,
mm-hmm.
for a long time. That's one of the most, you know, stunning moments on semi-live TV, mm-hmm. that any of us have witnessed. As silly as that sounds, it was just so bizarre. And so much so that he's laughing as Will Smith's walking up to him. We're not going through all that again, but he mm-hmm. hits him. And this is a guy who was bullied as a kid. This is a guy. Mm-hmm. And now it happens to him after all the success. It happens to him at the Oscars when he walks mm-hmm. out there. And Will Smith, this big action hero, super movie star, comes up and hits him. And now everywhere he goes, it's like me with the Artie Lang episode. For years afterward, I felt like anybody I met, even though they weren't, was thinking, oh, God, this poor guy with HBO and the Artie Lang mm-hmm. thing. Meanwhile, this is somebody in the Oscars that gets smashed by Will Smith. That leaves something where I don't think I disagree with Jim Carrey. Like, you can't mm-hmm. avoid that the rest of your life. It's always going to be a part of conversation. And eventually it's like, God, I just want to – I'm tired of it. I want to move on. This guy's been chewing on this ever since. It's a real thing that he's got to live with, and that's debilitating.
Yes, it is, and again, I guess we can't pretend to know Rock's state of mind and his, you know, how sensitive or fragile he might be. He is a comic, and he can make a shit ton of money off of this if he so chooses. And I thought about this, you know, weeks and weeks ago, well before I saw him, and I said, dude, if he was to create a special, and it was called Will and Jada, and it was an hour that he has written dedicated to that and fucking annihilating them or whatever the special takes on, it does. The amount of money that a Netflix would pay for something like that would be massive.
But it's not all about money.
No, I understand, but that. Yeah, but everyone wants to make more money.
And I get it.
Rock even said in his set before, because he's doing these shows now and everyone's expecting him to talk about it. And he says, look, you know, hey, I guess he made one joke. He goes, I got my hearing back. You know, he said that was his first sort of joke. And then he goes, look, I have a lot of jokes I'm going to tell and da-da-da-da, and it's not going to be about that. And he goes, I'm not going to talk about this shit, like, until they pay me. You know, that's what he said.
Right.
Which means, yeah, it's coming, dude. I think it's coming. But you're right. I mean, it was gnarly. It was crazy. You know? Anyway.
Yeah. No. Hey, good for you. We have listener questions really quick.
Okay.
And I like this one. Oliver, is there a chance for Buck to play on Cleaning Lady? Maybe he's your ex-wife's new boyfriend. I mean, you know, I'm friends with Charlie Collier. I'm no longer at Fox, but I think I could strong arm or muscle my way into that.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, you play Aaron's, like, new fling or whatever.
Oh. I didn't put that part together. Okay.
Yeah, well, my ex-wife in the show is my real wife in real life. Her name is Erin Hudson.
Erin Bartlett Hudson.
Erin Bartlett Hudson. Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I don't, I mean, what if there's like a love scene, you know, or that you got to like, you know, get naked with her and do some sort of a love scene and
as
I walk
we've
in.
Already stated on this, that first of all, I would spray tan my ass off.
Oh, yeah.
Secondly,
but I walk in and shoot you. I think that's the scene.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. And then, okay. Will there be another wife episode? Love the last one. I think we can say a resounding yes to that. If this podcast lives on past this week, I'm certain that it's to come.
Speaking of that, Erin just left the house, you know, before we got on. She's like, why don't you bring your stuff and we can do one. We can do one while we're there. And I'm like, I know, but
here's what I'm going to trust you with. Okay. You ready? You got to bring the little memory card thing.
I have Yeah.
I'll bring the recorder and the mic.
But we need four mics if the girls are going to be on it. I have two, so I mean.
I have two. I have 10.
Okay.
I have 10.
So should we just bring them just in case? It's not really that big of a deal. You just put it in the fucking suitcase, you know? I mean.
Yes. That's a big yes.
The other thing chiming too. In.
The other thing too, Joe Buck, is, you know, Erin and I are launching our podcast in mid-May at some point.
Oh my God. I know I got to get on your schedule in and around you and your sister and you and your wife.
No, but listen to me. Will you just listen? Our format is no guests, well, do one guest like a month, you know, and couples. So Erin was the one who brought it up. She goes, well, why don't we bring our stuff there? And Joe and Michelle can be our first guests as far as Unconsciously Coupled. That's the name of our show.
Okay. But so we do this show coming up, and what are we going to do? Two shows? One for daddy issues and one for Unconsciously Coupled?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. We're just sitting in the little condo thing just doing podcasts all day?
Yeah. No. Forget the golf.
No.
Just record like different little snippets. You don't even have to do it with all the stuff. You can just do it on your voice record and we'll clip it all together as like a special episode. Go to Cabo.
Just bring it in. Let's just bring the stuff and see what happens.
Okay, look, this is me opening my drawer. This is me grabbing my Zoom recorder.
Okay.
This is me getting a microphone. This is me looking at a picture of my dad.
Great.
This is me just being me. I have other microphones. Good. I have other.
I'll bring two. You bring two. You know, we'll put it in the golf cart in the middle of member guests, fucking see what happens.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Can we turn it into a Mr. Microphone? Remember, are you old enough to remember those ads? Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Yeah.
I had a Mr. Microphone. That's how I started my career.
Wow. I was eight. Maybe we can get them as a sponsor.
Hey, for all your neighborhood microphone needs, as you're rolling through, checking out the people on their porches, you can tune in to Mr. Microphone and get everybody's attention over on the other side of the block. Mr. Microphone for your microphone needs, brought to you by Daddy Issues, MrMicrophone.com/Daddy Issues.
Perfect. What if people start going there like, there's nothing here? What is this?
Only the people that listen to us in Iraq will go to Mr. Microphone.
Now we're growing in Iraq.
We've added 3 people per month in Iraq. Yeah.
We're crushing.
Crushing in Iraq. Crushing. Okay. Until I see you in the flesh.
Let's flesh it out. In the flesh.
Yes.
Oh, do we have an ad to do?
Yeah, but can we say goodbye first?
Oh yeah, yeah. Till I see you, we're gonna flesh it out in the flesh. We're gonna press.
What is that
flesh.
That you're holding? What is that?
It's a Glock 19. It's like a mini replica that I'm in my son's room and he bought this thing on Amazon for like $40. With some of his, like, you know, Christmas money.
Is it a lighter?
No, it's nothing. It shoots little tiny bullets, but like, you know, it's fake, obviously. But it's an exact replica, but just super mini. Like everything is done to spec with the same materials and everything like that. And
that's, and like, that's a cool red flag. It's a red flag.
I'm like, why are you buying this? Like, what, you know, it's such a waste of your money. And, you know, look, the little clip comes out. You know, it's got the little tiny, you can see the little bullets.
But they don't fly out of there.
No, no. Anyway, yeah, he
what if somebody's breaking into your house and that's the only thing you can get your hands on? Go right now. You're an actor. Let me see it.
God damn it. Stay away, man. Please stay. It's like so little.
Yeah. It's like John Candy in Vacation. Yeah, well, this could get under the skin and cause a very nasty infection. Yeah, these little bullets. Very nasty infection. Sorry, folks. House is closed. Moose out front should have told you.
God, what a movie.
What a movie. And we got my friend Lee, who we had on the show. He's been watching Defending Your Life. So,
oh, good.
We're healing the world one comedy at a time.
We are. What a great movie.
All right. Until I see you on Wednesday, goodbye.
Goodbye. Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margot Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Bach, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.